Happiness and fulfillment are the highest goals. And not tomorrow, not later, not sometime, right now. And that's how a good life is built. Not through endless planning for the future, but from action in the present. That's it, and do it again tomorrow. Because a good life is built today. It doesn't matter what happened in the past, and the future is gonna unfold how it does. So do what you need to do. Do the thing that makes you feel in line with the person that you want to be. And then do that over and over and over. Welcome to the Happy, Healthy Human Podcast. I'm your host, Paul Levitin. What do the happiest, healthiest humans all have in common? They are students of success. In my mission to help both you and I become the happiest, healthiest humans we can be, I have studied success at all levels. And after spending over a decade working in the field of human development and flourishing, I can tell you with certainty, success leaves clues. On this show, I investigate and explore the common clues and foundational principles that tie together success in all areas of life. Whether it's happiness, health, wealth, relationships, it's all a part of the human experience. By following these success clues and understanding the underlying success principles, you will find that success is not simply a possibility, it's guaranteed. Every Tuesday, I give you simple, straightforward action steps and tools using these clues and principles of success to help you become the happiest, healthiest human you can be. Today's clue is comfort versus enjoyment. What is the reason for life? I know, it's a big, deep question. And I don't know the answer. Couldn't tell you, won't try to. But what I do know, and what I will tell you, is my own personal philosophy. This is, again, my personal belief that has become a guiding light that I choose to live by. So I'll give it to you. Maybe you like it. If you do, take it. If you don't, leave it. And I first came to this realization when I was in college, almost 15 years ago. And I was a very different person back then. I was definitely not the happy, healthy human. So it was before I was a personal trainer. I didn't know anything about fitness or nutrition. I hadn't read a single book, literally ever. Never even knew what a podcast was. And at that time, if you asked me what the meaning of life was, I actually would have told you the same thing that I would tell you today. Happiness. To live a happy life. To be happy. So I guess even back then, I had some of what's in me now today, although it took me in a very different direction. Because at that time, happiness to me was drinking 4 or 5 nights a week, smoking copious amounts of weed daily, engaging in many other illicit activities, chasing girls, trying to get laid. I wasn't working. I was cheating in my classes to get passing grades. You know, all around, I was just not a good guy. And looking back, I'm not proud of that era in my life, and I don't look back on that time fondly. But the one thing I did get right was that philosophy. And that's the thing that has guided me forward ever since. In the spirit of full transparency, I first came to this philosophy, to this revelation, on a heavy dose of magic mushrooms. So, I don't know, take it with a grain of salt. But even here, talking about this over a decade and a half later, I really can't find faults in the logic. Because we don't know the meaning of life. We don't know what comes before life or what will come after. And we don't know if it's Christians or Hindus or Jews or atheists or the Church of the Flying Spaghetti Monster that's correct in all their assertions. We don't know why we're here. We don't know where the universe came from. We don't know if there's life out there aside from us. There's so much we don't know. So what do we know? Again, not much. But I do know that I'm here right now. I know that at the time of this recording, I'm 34 years old. And I know that the average American lifespan is 73 years. So if I'm average, I'm just about halfway there. And if I'm lucky, and maybe I live to 100, I'm still already a third through this journey. I do know that I've made mistakes in the past, and I can't change those mistakes. And I know that there's a whole future ahead of me that, no matter how hard I try, I cannot dictate how it unfolds. I know that we make plans and God or the universe laughs, and that the future is going to unfold in ways that today I could not even imagine. So if I have 30, 40, maybe 50 or 60 years tops left on this planet, and of those years I can't control the outcome, it can seem bleak. But I don't think so, because there's so much that I don't know, so much that I can't predict, so much that I can't control. So what do? Well, I release it. I let it go. I don't think about it. It's either going to happen or it won't. Life will life. The universe will universe. In the grand scheme of things, I am just a speck, a grain of sand in a vast desert billions of miles across. So nothing really matters. And that's not to be nihilistic. It's just kind of matter-of-factly. But that, does that mean that I shouldn't care? And I don't think so. I think it means the opposite. I think that if nothing matters, that's freeing. The past is the past. We can't change that. The future is yet to be decided. And no matter how much effort or hope you put into it, you cannot decidedly write your next chapter. And so if we can't change the past and we can't decide the future, then what's left? Today. Here. Right now. This is it. And if this is all we have, and I don't know what tomorrow will bring, then to me, the logical conclusion is to focus on today, to live today fully. So my goal each day is to be the happiest, healthiest human I can be. And that's it. And that was my conclusion sitting in the park with my college roommates a week before graduating, speaking to the clouds about the meaning of life. And it's still my belief today. And this is why I'm so passionate about happiness, health, about success. It is not about some mystical, far-off future. It is not about some 10-year plan or 5-year goals or even goals for later this quarter. It's about today. How can I live the best possible day today? To me, that's about being happy, doing things that fulfill me and light me up. Because if I don't know what happens when I die, I want to make the most out of the time I do have on this planet. So to me, again, this is just my opinion, happiness and fulfillment are the highest goals. And not tomorrow, not later, not sometime, right now. It's that simple. But the next logical question is, what is happiness? Because like I said, in my 20s, it was drinking too much and trying to get laid. And thankfully, I've grown up a bit since then. But what is it now? I was at a men's retreat a few months back, and one of the activities they took participants through was writing their own eulogy. And that might sound strange if you've never heard about this, but it's a common fairly activity. An author named Daniel Harkavy wrote about it in his book called Living Forward. And ever since then, it's been used by thousands of executives, coaches, therapists, just anyone else around the world as a way to make sense of their lives and to plan their next personal and professional steps. As Harkavy explains it, I'm quoting him now, when we take the time to write our eulogies, it creates this magnetic pull power that draws us forward. Our priorities and our vision for where we want to be as leaders and how we'll get there come into sharp focus. This clarity enables us to make the best decisions, get up out of our comfortable patterns, create new habits, and start moving us forward to a better future. So this exercise, this activity, is meant to focus you on how you want to be remembered. The big things you want reflected on the marquee of your life when all is said and done and the credits roll. And it's a powerful tool because it makes you come face to face with reality. You might want your obituary to read, "Beloved father and husband. He cared about his community and is remembered by his loving grandchildren for his sense of humor and zest for life." And that's a beautiful sentiment. But now you have to look at your life and ask, are you living in such a way now that will lead to this eulogy to be written? Are you focusing on your duties as a parent? Are you connecting with your spouse and children? Or are you putting in long nights at the office and are too tired to be present when you get home? Because you might feel like, well, yeah, that's what I have to do for my family. But if that leads to an obituary that reads, he worked hard and he provided, well, is that really what you want? And maybe so. That's up to you. I think it's a powerful exercise. And I encourage you to take a few minutes when this episode is done with a paper and pen and actually write it out. You might find, as many have, that it's enlightening and it shows you something about how you want to be dedicating your time moving forward. So when I was in my 20s, partying all the time, if someone showed me this exercise, it would have saved me a lot of time. Because even as immature as I was back then, at no point did I think I'd want to be remembered as the guy who took the most shots of Jaeger, or he puked a lot, but he was fun to party with. But that was me then trying to be happy. But had I used this tool of the eulogy, I could see that I was probably missing the mark. So at that retreat, everyone wrote their eulogies and everyone went around the room and shared. And some guys had long paragraph responses talking about grandkids and great grandkids and social impact and the legacy they leave behind. It's all great, touching stuff. But when it came time for me to share, I only had three words written down. He lived well. To me, that's it. That sums it up. That's everything. Am I living my life well? We get so caught up. We set goals. We think about the way things need to be. We're always looking forward. We're always looking back. We talk about legacy and what we want to leave behind. But to me, that's all wasted energy. Again, what do I know to be true? Well, I know that energy is a finite resource. The law of conservation of energy says that energy can be neither created or destroyed. It only transfers. So energy we have inside us each day, as we use it, transfers out, and we can't just create more. I mean, we do get energy back, but that comes through rest, and you can't force it. So energy is finite, and you can't just make more of it on a whim. And I only get 70, maybe 100 years on this planet to do with what I want, and I can't change the past, and I can't control the future. So what does that leave me with? Again, to me, it means that my focus is best used right here, right now. Living each day well, making the most of each moment. And that's all I need to do. And that's good because it's all I can do. It might seem overly simplistic, but to me, it's the ultimate answer. If I do my best today, well, that's the best I can do. I don't have to hyperfixate on tomorrow or my 6-month goals or what will happen 5 years from now. I literally just do my best today. Then tomorrow, I'll live my best day tomorrow and the day after and so on. And that's how a good life is built. Not through endless planning for the future, but from action in the present. I think a lot of the negative feelings we have come from our hyper-focus on the future. Where am I going to be 10 years from now? Hell, where am I going to be 10 days from now? I've seen it time and time again in my coaching practice. When thinking about a change that someone wants to create, people will say, yeah, but what about when this happens? What about next week? I'm so busy. Work is going to get hectic. What about when I go on vacation? What happens when my kids are on summer break? And these are valid questions. So if you're talking about creating a change, we want that change to be sustainable. A main tenet of my coaching is that I only set people up with change that will last forever. If it's a short-term solution, it's not actually a solution. And yet that line of thinking can be a block in itself. It can stop people from doing the one thing that is the most important, the one thing that actually matters. The one thing that actually moves the needle, acting. All of the hypotheticals, all of the what ifs, all of the what do I do whens, they can be overwhelming. They can be an interesting thought experiment, and maybe they're worth consideration, but only if they don't get in the way of you doing the damn thing in the first place. So don't talk yourself out of doing something today because of what may or may not come to be a week or a month or a year from now. If you know something is going to come up for sure, then yes, plan for it. If you're starting a business that's seasonal, it makes sense to prepare for the different seasons. It makes sense that you have plans in place for ramping up and ramping down at the right times. That's different, though, than putting off starting a business because of a theoretical upcoming economic downturn or what may or may not happen after the next presidential election or whatever else. And similarly, I hear a lot of people say, I want to start eating healthy, but I don't know if I'll be able to keep it up over the summer. And to that, I say, just start. Worry about what's right in front of you, and that's today. And do that again tomorrow, and then the next day, and then the next day. And all of a sudden, you're making progress. All of a sudden, you're learning. All of a sudden, you're finding new strategies and finding out things that you didn't know And lo and behold, come summer, you're a different person. And the habit that was challenging to even start over the winter is ingrained in you because you've put in 5 months of work. The reality is you know what to do right now, today. I don't know what it is. I don't know what you're procrastinating on, what you've been putting off, but you do. It probably popped into your head right now. The one thing that you know would move you forward, but you keep shuffling it to the back of the deck. That thing. I don't need to know you. I don't need to coach you. I don't even ever need to talk to you. Just do that thing. Today, take one step that will get you closer to it. And then tomorrow. And then the next day. If in that eulogy exercise, you say you want to be remembered as a loving spouse, then love your partner today. That's it. And do it again tomorrow. Because a good life is built today. It doesn't matter what happened in the past. And the future is going to unfold how it does. So do what you need to do. Do the thing that makes you feel in line with the person that you want to be. And then do that over and over and over. Again, it seems simple, but we know simple is not easy. So my philosophy is live life well each day. Do what makes you happy today. Fulfillment is the ultimate goal. And now you might hear this and ask, like, okay, Paul, but what makes me happy is crushing a pint of Ben and Jerry's every night and watching 6 hours of Netflix. It's definitely not drinking kale smoothies and going to CrossFit class. So are you saying that's what I should be doing? Or what about drinking alcohol? That's enjoyable. I mean, personally, if you asked my 24-year-old self what made him happy, I would have said dollar beer Thursdays at the Stumble Inn. And this is another common trap people fall into. If eating nothing but junk food and melting into the couch like a microwaved stick of butter for 16 hours a day actually made you happy and feel fulfilled, then I would actually say a wholehearted, full-bodied yes, do that. That is the thing for you. Because your thing doesn't have to be my thing. Whatever lights you up, whatever allows you to feel the best during this short ride we get on Earth, do that thing. If getting hammered every Thursday, Friday, Saturday night gives you true internal joy, and assuming you're not hurting anyone but yourself, then have at it. I mean, God knows I lived that way for years, so I'm not going to judge you. But the reality is, what I came to realize after so long of living my life that way was that it wasn't actually making me happy. It was fun, sure, but it was killing me, inside and out. I never woke up the next day after drinking feeling better. I just had to muster up the strength and the courage to do it all over again. And it took me 10 years of living that way to figure it out, but eventually I got there and now I'm here. So if you're struggling, don't worry, you can figure it out too. And the thing is, that thing that you're saying makes you quote unquote happy, when it's something that feels good in the moment but has a net negative effect on you, like eating poorly, drinking, just consuming, the reality is it doesn't actually make you happy and it doesn't actually give you fulfillment. What you're actually feeling in those moments is comfort, which is not the same as fulfillment or happiness. I talk a lot on just about every episode about the constant battle humans are always going through between our thriving brain that wants us to do better and our primitive survival brain that's trying to just keep us safe and fights back at every turn from us doing anything remotely beneficial for us. And the thing about comfort is that it feels like survival. And your brain likes survival, so it tells you to stay there, stay where it's comfortable. But scientists have actually studied this. It turns out that while comfort does feel good, it does not feel good in the same way that true joy, happiness, or fulfillment does. So doing what's comfortable and thinking it's fulfilling or making you truly happy is like thinking you're resting by watching 6 hours of TV. I mean, sure, it's low energy and it's more restful than going out and running a marathon, but you're lying to yourself if you think staying up until 3 a.m. watching Hulu is actually doing anything to replenish your body. And there's no substitute for sleep, even if something feels like rest. Similarly, even things that feel comfortable in the moment tend not to bring us actual happiness. You probably know that to be the case because when you do have those days of eating a whole pint of Ben and Jerry's or watching TV for 6 hours or going out drinking for a night, you probably don't feel good afterwards. It's comfortable while you do it, but when you're done, you feel like crap. just like me having those fun nights out, partying, going to Vegas, popping bottles, posting cool pictures on Instagram, meeting celebrities. And how did I feel? Like a beat up mattress laying on the side of the road. So how could that be? How could I be having so much fun and not be happy? Simply put, comfort is not happiness or joy. Comfort is your body and your brain accepting the bare minimum. Your survival brain loves when you accept the bare minimum, when you go with the flow and you just stick with the status quo. To your survival brain, safe is better than sorry. So it rewards you for sticking with what's comfortable with warm, fuzzy feelings of contentment. But the thing is, again, you know the truth. Sometimes it's obvious and it's staring you in the face. It's apparent. You know that skipping exercise and skipping preparing a healthy meal in favor of ordering pizza for the third time this week is probably bad for you, even if it feels good in that moment. Sometimes, though, it's more disguised. When you're feeling a little depressed and you go out to drinks with your friends on a Friday night to try to forget your sorrows or just have a good time, it's easy to think that that's a beneficial thing. But when you're honest with yourself about how you feel after and how the alcohol affects your body and about the fact that you're just hiding from the situation and trying to numb the pain, you realize that it's not actually doing what you set out to do, which is making you happy. These are things that you can say you enjoy, things that you like to do, but they're really just placeholders. They're ways to pass time. They feel good in the moment, but that's actually because they are just distracting you. So if these comfortable distractions don't give you true joy or happiness, then what does? And again, this has been studied by many scientists. Scientists like Jonathan Haidt, the author of The Happiness Hypothesis, one of my favorite books. Dr. Judson Brewer, author of The Craving Mind, awesome book as well. And these studies have shown that true positive feelings like joy, happiness, fulfillment, come from challenge, both the pursuit of a challenge and the culmination of doing hard things. For example, going on a hike is a great example. Coming home after a long day spent in nature, moving your body, or spending a night engrossed in a challenging project where you're using your peak mental faculties. Even just sitting in a garage for 6 hours, tinkering with your car or a woodworking project. And you notice the distinction. None of these things are easy. I mean, sitting on a couch and ordering takeout would be easier in the moment than going on a hike or doing woodworking. It would certainly be more comfortable. And that ease and that comfort are alluring. But after the fact, the thing where you actually worked will actually leave you feeling more joy, more happy, more fulfilled. And that means that you aren't sacrificing fun. The people studied who spent their time on worthwhile pursuits rated it as being more enjoyable than the comfort activities. So when thinking about things that keep us complacent, looking forward, we think that we will enjoy them much more, right? When you're thinking about spending a day watching TV or going out drinking. But studies show, again, that after the fact, when the thing is done, our ratings of how much we actually enjoyed those things, drinking alcohol, watching TV, scrolling social media, are much lower than we assumed beforehand. And then the exact opposite is true for challenging things. Because it might be obvious to assume that we feel good after a hike, but we also might assume that we aren't going to enjoy it in the moment. And studies show that that's not the case. After doing a challenging activity, either physically or mentally, when asked to rate the activity, participants constantly rate their enjoyment of the activity considerably higher than they predicted it would have been before the activity took place, even when the activity was hard or uncomfortable. Meaning, people who thought, going on a hike is going to be hard, I won't enjoy it, but I'll feel good after, when polled afterwards, actually said, I feel good now, and that was really fun while I was doing it. And this isn't just with physical things. There was a famous study where they asked people to approach strangers on the New York City subway. This is something that just from hearing that, you might know why that would be a horrible thing to do. And everyone assumed that approaching a stranger on the New York City subway would be uncomfortable, would be a bad experience, and that they would not get any enjoyment out of it. And almost everyone who took part in this study came back thinking the exact opposite. They had conversations that they enjoyed, they met nice people, or even in times where they didn't and it didn't work out, they still felt good about putting themselves out there and still doing something. So this thing that they thought looking forward was the worst thing that could possibly happen and that there was no way they were going to enjoy it and it was only going to be uncomfortable, they actually found that it made them happier and they enjoyed it. So just to recap, the thing that we think will be enjoyable beforehand, like watching TV or going out drinking, those things tend to be evaluated as less enjoyable after the fact. And on the other side, the things that we think will be challenging and often assume will be less enjoyable, like a workout, cooking a healthy meal, talking to a stranger, those things tend to be rated as much more enjoyable when looking back after the activity is over and as making us happier. So it turns out that what we often mistake for enjoyment looking forward is actually just comfort and complacency. So now, let's go back to my eulogy. Live life well. A life well lived is one that fulfills me, one that is joyous and happy. And now, that means that it can't be a life where I'm consistently choosing comfort, where I'm doing things that I think will be enjoyable, but are really just like a shot of Novocaine for my brain, numbing me out for a few minutes or even hours. And it means that I have to not only not be afraid of challenges, but I have to seek them out. It's the things that feel like a challenge that actually leave me feeling the happiest and the most fulfilled. And this is the lens that I put all of my decisions through. So my action step for you this week is to challenge yourself by seeking more challenge. Not because you'll get jacked from working out, not because you might lose more weight for dieting, not because you'll get rich from working harder. Do it because the very nature of the thing you're avoiding is actually the thing that will, in many cases, light you up the most and leave you more charged, more invigorated, happier, healthier, and an all-around better human. That's it for today. Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed this episode or got value from it, you can support the show by sharing it with a friend and giving them the gift of a happier, healthier life. You can also leave a rating and review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. That helps boost the show on those platforms so more people can discover it and we can all grow together. I'll see you back here every Tuesday and Thursday morning. And until then, stay happy, stay healthy.